So for this first part, we're gonna focus in, we're gonna hone in on verses 10 to 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, to begin with, we all need to understand that the devil, who is given several names in Scripture, Satan, he's the prince of this world, he's a supernatural being, and he's as real as we are right now. Satan is engaged in a spiritual warfare against God, and we... as believers, those who profess and have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are his prime targets. Let me say that the first major mistake that Christians make in all of the world, in all churches, is that they minimize the devil, and even in some cases they forget that he's real. They just put him aside and. That's a huge mistake that we make in the church. That's a big mistake because that's giving Satan a huge advantage in the battle. It right off the bat is denying his existence or minimizing him as that character with the pitchfork and the ears there. That's a big mistake. And it's a recipe for disaster and defeat because we need to be prepared. So the Bible says that Satan can appear as an angel of light, but what he really is he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Please know that in our strength, we are no match for him at all. We're no match for him. He is way more powerful and crafty than we are. The text warns us to beware of the wiles, the schemes of the devil. We get different glimpses about the devil in the Bible, and like in the book of Jude, in Jude verse 9, it talks about the archangel Michael, who would be a lot more powerful than any of us, and even he can rebuke the devil on his own. So we can only stand against them. This is the solution. If we are strong in the Lord, there is a solution. And we need to wear the whole armor of God that we're going to look at a little more closely this morning. And because of the ongoing nature of this spiritual battle, note it's not physical, the full armor of God is not something to be put on and off occasionally. It's something that needs to be kept on throughout our life while on the earth. It's something that's always got to be there. And when we do this, and remember that our strength comes from the Lord, there's no reason for us to become fearful of the devil. That's one of his schemes, is he wants us to be fearful of him. But we don't need to do that. We need to be aware of him, but we don't need to go home tonight and have nightmares either. There's absolutely no need for that when we're strong in the Lord. So in the Bible, we get a glimpse of, in the Bible, we also get a glimpse of Satan's limitations when we read like the book of Job, for example, and how he really has no upper hand on God in any way, shape, or form. His power is, in fact, limited by God, and he cannot force us to do anything, and he certainly cannot force us to sin. Let me say that again. Satan does not force it. He cannot force us to sin. He can only tempt us, but if we resist, he will flee in the Lord's strength. I like this quote from Martin Luther. When referring to temptation, Martin Luther, he painted an accurate picture when he said, and he was comparing... temptation to birds. And he said, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head. No, you can't. But what you can do is you can stop the birds from building a nest in your hair. Okay? I love that quote. And comparing those birds to temptations, we cannot prevent their presence in this world. We have no control over that. We can't control being tempted. And being tempted in itself is not a sin. That's not the sin. What is the sin is when you give in to those temptations and when the temptation translates into action of the sin and in doing the sin. And I love what God says through Paul it's God's promise and assurance in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'll just read it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Sin is always a choice that we make. Make no mistake about that, okay? We are responsible for our actions. We need to take full responsibility for our actions. If we choose not to take advantage of God's power that's available to us through the person of the Holy Spirit, then we have no one to blame but ourselves. No excuses. Furthermore, we will all one day be personally held accountable to God for any remaining unconfessed sins in our life, and it will be exposed. So the key is to make things right with God. We can do that. We have that. God wants us to do that. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator, we're all capable of that. So, something to consider. And something that to remember about Satan, and we often forget it, and I want to bring it to your attention, is that he's not omnipresent, which means he can't be everywhere at once. And he doesn't know everything. He doesn't know everything. Unlike God, Satan is a created being. He was actually an angel, the most beautiful and powerful angel at that. However, he did decide to rebel against God, and a good number of other angels decided to follow Satan. Today, they're his demons, and they're fighting the spiritual battle against God and his followers. So technically, more often than not, when we're being tempted and attacked, it's not by Satan personally, but more likely one of his demons. And the only reason I bring that up is to legitimately undermine the devil, because he's not on the same level as God. He's not, and we have a tendency sometimes to think of him, give him too much credit, but he's not on the same level as God, and. Because God really is all-powerful, all-knowing, and omnipresent. Satan is none of those. And that's the important point I'm trying to make. With God's strength and protection, we will be victorious in our daily battles. And when we choose to be off guard and do things in our own strength, and I'm often guilty of that, we will suffer the consequences, because Satan and his demons are far more powerful than any of us in our own strength. And they will win every time when we're relying on our own strength. Something about Satan is he's not oblivious to the fact that he's a defeated foe. He knows that very well. It's because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that God, and he knows God is infinitely more powerful than he is. He knows his eternal destiny is in hell. But he has decided to keep fighting until that point, until the point that God says no more. It's because he's super evil and he's super stubborn. And because Satan knows he has no match for God in a direct confrontation, it's much more, for him, it makes more sense for him to attack us, to attack God by going after us, the believers. The human race, who are created in God's very image. And specifically doing this, he does this by exploiting the free will that God has given us. Upon reading the Bible as a whole, perhaps spending extra time in those first few chapters of Genesis, perhaps the Gospel of John, maybe Revelation, I hope you all come to the unanimous conclusion that God is not the author of pain and suffering. And I hope we never see it that way, a view that has driven many to insanity and severe depression. The real truth is that these are the result of our sin, Our poor choice not to trust God and disobey Him, starting with the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and we all inherited that sinful nature because we are their offspring. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I therefore encourage us all to adopt a worldview that embraces a realization of how much God loved us by providing the only viable solution to the sin problem that we created by sending His one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer immensely on the cross and pay a penalty that we could not pay on our own. God is the only one who could redeem us like that. And this sacrifice is powerful enough to save anyone who believes on Him. Contrary to what Satan, the father of lies and deception, wants us to believe, hell does not have to be anybody's destiny. Nobody has to go there. Heaven is within reach to anyone in the human race who decides to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once a person is saved, Satan also knows he cannot take away a believer's salvation, so he wants to do everything short of that. Similar to what he did to Adam and Eve, he roams the earth with his demon followers, and he seeks to attack God through us by tempting believers to sin and lose our earthly testimony and effectiveness for Him. So all that to say, whether we believe it or not, there is an invisible, supernatural battle that's going on, and often when we're trying to walk closely with God, we become more involved in that battle, whether we like it or not, because that's exactly where Satan and his minions are going to focus their energies. The central theme in Ephesians, as chosen by our group, unity in Christ, it certainly applies for this last portion of the book as well. And when thinking of the body here at Cherrydale, it is critical that we encourage each other as much as possible to persevere and fight the good fight. So may none of us be fighting without God's armor. And we must encourage each other with the promises that are in Scripture, such as greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. And if you haven't already done so, I really encourage you to memorize a verse. It's James chapter 4, verse 7. If you get a chance to memorize that, you should have that with you each day, because it's a very powerful verse that alludes to this. And it basically says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So it starts off by implying that our strength comes from the Lord through our submission to God, and then we can resist the devil in God's strength, and then Satan will flee from us. So we really do not have to be afraid of the devil. That's not the point of this message. Okay, we'll reread, as we get into specific pieces of the armor, I'd like to reread verses 14 to 17. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So now we do get into the specifics of the armor of God, and we're going to look at each piece. The first piece of armor described is having our loins girded about with truth. Other translations refer to this as the belt of truth. The Roman soldier would put a belt around his waist before putting on the rest of his armor, and this held his garments together and helped him keep efficient, helped him keep organized, and helped him keep ready to fight at any time. So he was always battle ready. And this truth includes each person's, each Christian's personal integrity, our self-discipline, and our commitment to doing the right thing despite the cost. As a soldier's belt would give him that ease of freedom and movement, the truth it gives us as believers, it also gives us a freedom for with ourselves, because we can be our own worst enemy sometimes with our doubts and with other things that are going on. It gives us freedom, obviously, with God, and it gives us freedom in our relationship with others as well. Certainly, the truth of the gospel makes us free, but I don't think anyone here who's lived will disagree with me when I say that even though we might be saved and already going to heaven, but when we are hiding a lie or are hiding a particular sin in our life, it can really weigh us down. And it can get to the point where it even starts to affect our happiness and our health. Like, just practically speaking, when you're hiding something and keeping something in you, like specifically a sin, it can negatively impact your physical well-being. Satan will use that. And thinking of the battle, it really makes us vulnerable and it makes us susceptible. And Satan will even go so far to use people to blackmail us. It can get really messy, and our unconfessed lies and sins can really be used, by Satan to basically just weaken us and just wear us down to the point where we have no testimony, we have nothing for God that's going to help others and be an encouragement to others anymore. So the testimony, unfortunately, can get rude. And as, so I think the good news and that I really want to express to you is that the truth can set you free in more than one way today. And the way to go about it, first of all, is you want to confess your unconfessed sins to the Lord. First off, you want to take it to the Lord. And then, as hard as it's going to be, but believe me, it's better that you do it as soon as you can, is to come clean with the people you need to tell. Those people in your lives that are closest to you, that could be affected by those sins, but you need to know, and that's part of your healing as well, is to come clean with people. First off, you come clean with the Lord, and then you want to come clean with people we should all know who those people are, those people who are closest to us and that need to know. I mean, we should know that. And it's just going to be part of the healing process. The thing about unconfessed lies and unconfessed sins is that they never go away on their own. If you haven't noticed already, they only seem to get worse with time. They tend to multiply. It just tends to, as it eats away at you, it doesn't get better. The advantage of coming clean with God and the other people that you need to come clean with is that it will minimize the stranglehold that Satan will have on you. Satan might still try to point the finger at you. Like I said, he's very stubborn and, he's the extremity of evil. So he still might try to point the finger at you in the future, but you will already be forgiven by God, and you have already told the people who need to know. So Satan will be pointing the finger at you, but the people who need to know will already know. And hopefully the healing process will already be well underway. Before I move on, I want to emphasize that the way we develop a strong ethical and moral code is by spending daily time in God's Word, the Bible. Doctrine is very important, and we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. So next we consider the breastplate of righteousness, and it protects vital body parts, so it protects like the lungs, the heart, and those types of things. They provide breath and life to the person as we carry on the fight of life. And we are obviously not talking about self-righteousness here. Self-righteousness, it leaves God out of the picture, and it's arrogance and pride, and this is sin of the worst kind. We need to remind ourselves that we are right with God not because we are good and deserve it, but because Christ has made us clean. The lie that Satan has spread through many, many churches today is the need for a works-driven Christianity. And this is not only to obtain salvation, but to maintain our salvation. So many people are going to church and they think that they have to do certain things to maintain their salvation and maintain favor with God. And that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. We need to remember that the status of our salvation will never depend on what we do. There's nothing we can do. But it's only based on what Christ has already done at the cross. So when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a done deal. And you know, Satan cannot hold our past and present failures against us. In the heat of the battle, we must focus on Christ and remind ourselves that our hope is in Him. So practically speaking, we must trust Him to get us through the difficult times. And there are difficult times. We need to seek to live a life that's obedient to God's Word. Not because it has anything to do with our salvation, but because His ways are best for us, and it will really help our well-being while on this earth. Let's not give the devil an opportunity to strike us symbolically in a vital organ. In God's strength, we must seek to maintain personal holiness and obedience to Him each day. It's a daily renewal, something we need to do on a daily basis. Each morning, we pray. We need to ask, preserve me, like the psalmist, preserve me, O Lord, for in Thee I put my trust. It has to be done in humility. And it's going to bring us an inner joy and happiness like no other. Before we move on, I would like to quote something that Paul was inspired to write in Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now we look at the feet. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In this battle, the shoes we wear as believers are important to maintain our stability, our sure-footedness. You know, despite the rough ground, the hills, that rough terrain that the battle of life will bring us, our shoes are going to provide us a stability that we only find by living in God's peace. In Romans chapter 5, Paul tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty of our sins and made it possible for us to be right with God. It's all that Jesus did, nothing we did. We are secure in Him, and we know that nothing can separate us from His love. There is a peace that comes from that knowledge, even during the most difficult and challenging times we will encounter in our lives in the battle. We stand in confidence in God's love for us and total ability to successfully lead us through to victory in this battle. Next, it leads us into faith. And faith is described in Hebrews chapter 11 as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The next piece of armor is the shield of faith, implying that a believer's strong faith in the Lord will stop all the fiery darts that the devil will shoot at us, that he will direct at us. 1 John speaks about faith being the victory that overcometh the world. And this is especially holding firm to the promise that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and Satan is constantly throwing darts of temptation at us, and we need that shield to counter these. The thing about Satan is he always wants us to doubt God's promises and God's goodness towards us. It all started in the Garden of Eden, and it's been the case ever since. To be blunt, whenever we sin, we're showing a lack of trust in God. We're not, basically, if we choose to sin, we're believing Satan, the father of lies and deception. To abstain from sin is to believe God. And, that's even when it hurts and our feelings tell us to do otherwise. Everything in us tells us that, God just doesn't have my best interests at heart. God is missing the boat here. Things aren't happening as quickly as I'd like. But if we can trust God despite that, it'll always prove to be the right decision in the end. And, God's ways, I think when we look back in hindsight in our lives, we should see that, we should see that it is what's best for us. And sometimes to the extreme, trusting God can lead to imprisonment or execution. And, often our faith and trust in God's promises will prove to be rewarding while on this earth in God's perfect timing. But regardless, we must remember that this life is a drop in the bucket. It's very small in comparison to eternity. And true faith will never lose sight of that. Next is the helmet of salvation. And the helmet, it obviously protects the head from injury. That's what a helmet does. And the fact that the helmet is associated with salvation shows that Satan loves to attack a Christian's sense of security and assurance in Christ. The helmet also serves to protect our minds, because the mind is often where the worst sins, where our sins begin. It's often where our doubt, it's often where our discouragement, our depression, our suicidal tendencies can begin. The mind, it's so critical to protect the mind. And the helmet of salvation, it's also talked about in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. The helmet is called the hope of salvation. And this hope is indeed supposed to involve an unwavering assurance until the end. Satan wants us to question the security of our salvation and God's ability to keep us saved forever. Biggest lie in the church. He wants us to be filled with discouragement. He wants us to be filled with doubt. And he wants us to really question our future and our well-being. And but God wants us to know that we're fully secure and our future is bright. And it can start today. Satan will keep trying to remind you about the past. He'll remind you about your problems. Coming here to a church or to another church and getting involved with other believers, people you trust, God wants you to know that there's a way you can tackle each problem and you can start working towards a solution to those problems the best way you can. And he wants you to do that. He wants you to move forward because he's forgiven you and he loves you so much, and he sent his son. His son paid the sacrifice on, the sacrifice of your sins. So that's part of the battle, is with Satan. Are you going to believe Satan or are you going to believe God? That's what it comes down to. God says nothing can separate us from his love and nothing can snatch us out of his hand. We are reminded that this life is not all there is. It isn't. And that we should live each day in light of eternity. And that can start today. Whether we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time, or whether we renew our relationship with God and put him first in our life. There's nothing that God would like more, and that's why Satan's going to plant doubts in our minds that we've dug too deep of a hole. That all is lost, but all is not lost. God says, clean slate, right now. God says, Use whatever time I've given you on this earth for my glory. That's what God's telling you. For the believer, we could be in heaven as early as today. So that's what we got to live for. We have so much to live for. Next, their offensive weapon. This is what we use to attack Satan and his followers. It's our sword, and that's the Bible, the Word of God. It's the only living document, and in Matthew chapter 4, we read that the Lord Jesus, our perfect example, this is the one we're supposed to emulate, defeated Satan at each temptation simply by quoting the appropriate portion in Scripture. This implies that we have to know our Bible, and thus we need to spend studying it each day, a daily thing. Just a little bit in God's Word each day will do so much for us. It's amazing. And every believer has God's Spirit in them, so we really have no excuse for not understanding it and not knowing it. We simply need to make learning it a priority. It has to become our number one priority. And just a little bit each day, and just concentrate on those few verses that you were reading, and the Spirit will do wonders with that. It's totally worth it, because when we rely on what the Bible says, we're really not standing in our strength, but in God's strength. We're not relying on our wisdom, but on God's wisdom, and that makes us much, much stronger. Now we'll read the final portion of this book and passage. So we're going to go to verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So prayer, rightfully so, is the closing theme in Ephesians. We already looked at two of Paul's prayers in this book. And prayer is without question the most powerful weapon we have at our disposal as Christians. Don't get me wrong, the other pieces of armor that we just looked at are absolutely crucial. But prayer is the glue that holds everything together. It's direct communication with our Commander-in-Chief, and it was made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ, our Mediator. And it is the best way to determine the quality of our relationship with Him. A happy and fulfilled Christian is a prayer warrior. And it's someone who frequently prays and does not lose touch with God. It just becomes a daily moment. It just happens frequently. And developing a life of prayer, it ultimately builds our intimacy with God. And there's nothing more effective than that. And it just keeps us, keeps God's ways in the forefront and pleasing Him in the forefront. And let me tell you something. There's nothing I find more encouraging and more uplifting in my life when I see answered prayer. When I see answered prayer in the lives of other people, it's just so exciting. It's what's going to ultimately protect us from the devil, and it's ultimately what keeps God in the forefront of our minds, in the forefront of our being, and in the forefront of our daily endeavors. We must pray continually and in all circumstances, and this assures that God Himself and His angels are also fighting for us, not just for our personal deliverance, though. And I really want to emphasize what it says here, in supplication for others. Praying for others with sincerity and perseverance is, in fact, one of the healthiest, just from a practical, everyday, it's one of the healthiest things we could do in our lives while I'm here. I really believe that from the bottom of my heart. The strong and contented Christian will always be more devoted to the well-being of others rather than his own. And there isn't a bigger favor that we could do for them than to pray for them. This is also a crucial step to becoming more Christ-like, which should be the goal of every believer here this morning. Okay, so notice that Paul does not ask the believers to pray that God remove his physical discomforts and free him from prison. No, not at all. He asks them to pray for God's help so that he could be bold and faithful in sharing the truths about the gospel, the things that are ultimately going to make other people's lives better, but what's ultimately going to give people a happiness that they've never experienced before, a sense of meaning, a sense of direction. And he really wanted victory in the spiritual warfare that Satan was waging on him, because Satan was trying to suppress Paul, was trying to keep Paul quiet, was trying to discourage Paul, and this would ultimately prevent other people from hearing the good news of the gospel and the good news of how to make their lives better and healed emotionally. There was nothing selfish about what Paul was doing here. Nothing. And then we read about Tychicus. Tychicus was a faithful Christian, and he was beloved, and he was trusted by Paul. He was sent to Paul to deliver the letter to the Ephesians, and this was to inform them of Paul's welfare, the goal of encouraging them and comforting them. And he closes the letter by encouraging believers to continue their love for other Christians. And he knew that if we would seek to apply the lessons he gave to us, that we would be able to experience peace, love with faithfulness, and the grace of God. And these are things that are available to all Christians. God wants every single Christian to experience these. So, Will's just going to get more into this, but throughout our study in the book of Ephesians, we have been reminded of the position we have as believers because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The spiritual battle, which we looked at today against Satan and his followers, is real. It's very real, and our only chance at personal victory in our lives is to rely on God's strength, not our own, and then that implies the armor that we were looking at. And we have seen that Christians, the last several weeks, that Christians have no grounds to boast or to think of ourselves as better than non-believers. Not at all. We must remember that as believers, it is only by the grace of God, it's only by the grace of God and the work of the Lord Jesus at the cross that we have everything to look forward to. And the thing about God is he is long-suffering, and he is not willing that any should perish. That's very true about our God. That's his character. And if someone here this morning is not yet part of the spiritual family, I encourage you to make that most important decision today before it's too late. And now is the accepted time of salvation. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And then for those of us that, those of us who do know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and but for whatever reason, maybe we just haven't been walking the walk or putting God first because, like I say, Satan, we have free will. God designed us to have free will, and that's what Satan exploits. There's nothing that God wants more than for you to make that commitment, that renewal, that you're going to put him first again in your life. He's gracious, and he will provide you in encouragement, and he'll bring people in your life. He'll use other people to help you go strong for him with whatever time we have left on this earth. So let's just close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for the instruction you give us and the encouragement that we can get from your word, Father. And we just thank you that we're not in this alone. And we thank you that despite the spiritual battle that's going on, with your strength and with your armor, we can be more than conquerors. We are victors. And Father, I just pray that we'll never lose sight of that, that our strength must come from you, and that you want to be with us every step of the way. So we just thank you, and we just pray that we will be able to reflect and think about some of these truths from your word throughout the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.